Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, good Sunday afternoon. This is Mike Vandervoort. We haven't done a show in a long time, and we're trying an experiment here today. I'm at Sherm Talent in Orlando at the Swan and Dolphin on the Disney property, and we're going to be doing some shows today, tomorrow afternoon, and Tuesday with some of the Sherm staff members, and our guests today are Alyssa O'Brien, Sherm's Vice President of Membership, and Howard Wallach, who is the Global Markets Executive and Business Global Business Development Manager for Sherm. Welcome, you guys, to Drive Through HR.
Thank you, Michael. It's great to be here.
Good afternoon.
And we're all sitting side by side, so it's a little weird. Alyssa, why don't you tell for our listeners, why don't you tell them who you are and what you do at Sherm beyond the title?
All right. So I always say that to my two folks that I'm a recovering HR professional. I serve as Sherm's Vice President of Membership, and I am in charge of recruitment, retention, and engagement of our members.
Okay. And Howard, we were talking in the pre-show. It sounds like you have a really interesting job.
I do. I'm part of a bigger global team, and we're responsible for bringing Sherm's content to our members outside the country. And we have members in 177 countries and territories. We also work on licensing, training, and working with partners to deliver our certification prep and seminars. And similar to some of Alyssa's work, we work to engage our members in other countries. We don't have chapters, but we have Sherm networks in a number of countries. So it's a combination of inward and outward engagement globally.
Okay. So we're going to try to go through, and we have about a 45-minute show if we don't get through everything sooner. But we're going to try to cover a bunch of different short topics today. And in the first one, since we're at Sherm Talent Conference, which is going to kick off tomorrow and looks like it has a really interesting agenda, Alyssa, you're going to had some things you wanted to cover related to talent acquisition.
Right.
So why don't you tell
right.
us what you guys are doing for the membership as it relates to talent acquisition?
Sure. Well, we know that top of mind for business leaders right now is how to attract, retain, and engage talent. So we know that from our members' perspective that they really want the latest trends and strategies and really to help them really manage their talent management strategies. So we are really excited. We are investing a lot of Sherm's talent and resources to talent acquisition. So we put on this great conference. We have over 1,400 folks that are in Orlando this week. Really, you know, there for professional development on talent management strategies. We also have a daily newsletter that we send out the email. We have a talent acquisition email, weekly email. So we really are targeting more in that area of talent acquisition. I started my career as a recruiter, and I know how difficult it was back 25 years ago in a bank to really, you know, attract and retain good talent. But now, fast forward, 25 years, it is incredible that what technology is out there that is available for HR professionals really to be able to really work with their business partners to really create that talent pipeline mm-hmm. that they really do need to be successful.
So is Sherm doing research or is
yeah.
it to build these
yeah.
conferences? Are there specific things beyond the conference that you're working
sure,
on right now?
Absolutely. We do have, obviously we have a big research end of Sherm. So we do have a lot of research that is coming out for talent acquisition. We also have our line report that really basically takes a look at where the jobs are in the manufacturing sector and in the service sector. And we have a lot of other really great content out there, our tools, our resources online. We're, you know, again, investing in the needs for our members.
Okay. Let's. I wasn't sure how this was going to flow, but let's ping pong. So Howard, I know that, I mean, you mentioned 175
yes.
countries, right?
Yes.
And I know in the last few years, SHRM has invested a ton of money in India and China, trying to really do outreach in those, in, you know, part of the BRIC countries. What else? I mean, tell us, I mean, so maybe talk a little bit about that, because that's mm-hmm. certainly the big thread, but let's talk about what else you do at, or SHRM does on a global basis.
Well, a lot of it mirrors what Alyssa was saying, and some of it is taking our research to our members around the world, and also SHRM participating in some global research. So one of the things that we do is we're part of a World Federation of People Management Associations, and our president, Hank Jackson, is on the board, and they actually had a board meeting here yesterday, and that board consists of five regional federations, North America, South America, Europe, Africa, and Asia Pacific. With them a few years ago, we participated in some research with the Boston Consulting Group that showed that the three biggest issues around the world for HR are leadership, talent management, and behavior and culture. And those are the same in all five regions.
Those are universal issues.
They're universal.
Yeah.
So we're, that's one of the reasons that we're here at the Talent Management Conference too. What we've done, and you mentioned China and India, but we're also in Dubai. We have an office there. But what we're doing is, in addition to having offices where we're getting product to members and engaging members, promoting certification, promoting the use of our toolkits and our member services, but more importantly, helping people to embrace our HR competency model and use it as a roadmap wherever they are in the world. We're doing some other things. So we have developed SHRM forums. We don't have chapters, but in about 12 countries, we've developed these forums where we get a volunteer leader, and with a minimum of 20 people to have the critical mass to sustain it, they can get a special logo and network at least once a quarter, but usually they do 6 to 8 meetings a year. And the other thing that we've done is we've created a network of about 45 to 50 delivery partners that we've now licensed the SHRM certification preparation and SHRM seminars to. So we're much more proactive in trying to reach our members wherever they may be. We also invite them to conferences like this and to our annual conference, and particular upcoming annual conference in June in Washington. We will have probably 1,200 people from 90 other countries and territories.
Oh, this is a way off kind of I told you I would do this, tangential mm-hmm. question. I, yesterday evening, I had dinner with a guy I used to work with and hadn't seen in about 10 years. So we had dinner in Atlanta. And in his current job, which is in a suburban Atlanta mm-hmm. manufacturing facility mm-hmm. that employs about 300 people, he told me that he has 27 different countries, employees from yep. 27 different countries. And so in a 300-person workforce in Atlanta, which is a pretty, you know, U.S.-centric mm-hmm. language issues, all kinds mm-hmm. of communication issues. How does SHRM do that on a global? How do you guys communicate products and chapters and that stuff on a global basis?
Well, right now, most of our content is in English, but I would switch the question and say it's more, how do you help HR practitioners, wherever they are in the world, mm-hmm. deal with globalization? And being global is not necessarily about getting on a plane and going to another country. It's
right.
How do you deal with your employees who come from all over the world, different ethnicities, different language groups, different countries of origin? And in our competency model, one of the 9 competencies is global and cultural effectiveness. And I, as well as all the other members of the global team in India and China, people covering Latin America, the Middle East, we do a lot of speeches and training to help people develop their global mindset. Now, I think my bosses would disagree with me, because people talk about business acumen and critical evaluation being the most important to speak to business. But I often am provocative when I speak to audiences and say, every HR practitioner has to be global. And I'll tell you why. If you make one cultural misstep, even unintentionally, and you insult somebody, No matter how much business acumen you have or how good you're with data, they're not going to listen to you. So having that global and cultural effectiveness and sensitivity and sensibility is in fact equally important. And we talk about all nine of our competencies being, you know, integral. It's not picking out one or two. You have to have them. And that's whether you're an American HR practitioner or a Brazilian or a South African or a South Korean.
Awesome.
And I think to Howard's point is that you don't have to be even from a global company, meaning that it is about, it's about the people that you are employing. Those people are so diverse now that the workforce is so diverse where you could have, you know, three different types of cultures in that workforce.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it is critical that,
yeah,
you know, that HR practitioners need that cultural diversity.
What I do frequently, Mike, when I'm talking is, you know, we ask people how many, the audience is, how many are members of SHRM and how many are certified and how many work for companies. But then I ask them how many think they're globalists, mm-hmm, small g globalists. And invariably, one or two will raise their hand. And then I'll say, to dovetail what Alyssa just said, it's not only about your workforce, but it's about your company and your up and downstream relationships. And when I start asking people, well, think about what you own. You know, I may drive a Honda, but it was, you know, it was assembled in Alabama or Arkansas, someplace down south. Is that a Japanese car or American car or global car? And when you start thinking about your up and downstream suppliers as well as customers, that's why every HR practitioner has to be global, because in fact, de facto, you're working with it with those audiences, even if you haven't stopped to think about it.
Right. And right. I work for an organization that tries to educate within the HR sphere as well, although we do it on a very specific topic. I don't want to divert that into what we do. But I see all the time where some of our member companies, especially small and medium-sized businesses, say, but we're, you know, why do we want global content? We're not a global company. I want, you know, well, you are. Even if, and I mean, it may not affect you as much day-to-day, so the scale may be different. But to your point, supply chain, you buy stuff, your computer parts, your employees, the 27 languages in a building in Georgia. So the competency, about that and how you have to split it out. So you're developing some additions or some new communication around the competency model,
right?
You want to go into that a little bit?
Sure. No, happy to. So, you know, we did this research back in 2011 of what really, you know, makes a good, you know, HR professional. Mm-hmm. So so SHRM developed the SHRM competency model. Now we are working on content around the 8 behavioral competencies. So meaning content of basically helping our members really understand and work on professional development opportunities towards those 8 behavioral competencies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not only, you know, we all know in HR, it's not what you know, it's what you do with what you know.
Right.
And that is really very critical. These 8 behavioral competencies, we're focusing on our content so we can help HR professionals really get to that next level.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really, you know, again, to building those competencies.
So will these
models
be training modules?
There'll be
or
training, everything. So
okay,
case studies, it will be training, it will be webinars.
E-learning modules.
Okay,
yeah.
So you have the competency model and you're going to provide tools and resources to help people up their game in the based around the research you've done in the competency model?
In particular, the 8 behavioral competencies, because the knowledge is the knowledge, right?
Right.
You know
right,
what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's really around the 8 behavioral competencies.
So I have to say this, my organization is a SHRM, certified provider for SHRM, and we have been for about a year, I was kind of new to that, and, you know, the other organization, HRCI, which we also are a certified provider with. And I have to say that SHRM, at least from a user end, mm-hmm, on, you know, submitting stuff for approvals, has been great.
Yep.
I know there, and I don't want to make this go negative. I know there was a bit of criticism, mm-hmm, upon the initial implementation. I was lucky enough to be a volunteer and get some briefings behind the scenes and stuff at different conferences. And I know you guys, you know, drove that a lot. I think he did a lot of really good work, and in drive-through people will say, oh, he's just blowing smoke up there. I'm not. This is for real. I think you guys did a really good job with that, and I'm excited about where it's
going.
Thank you. So,
yeah.
So it's, and I think I think it's made a difference in the competitiveness too of, you know, just without a monopoly, which HRCI
right.
was before,
right.
actually, I think everybody gets better
competition
service now.
Competition is always okay,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
we know
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
But I will also say that from being an HR practitioner, really, you know, for 25 years or so, what I always felt made me more credible is really understanding the business side
mm-hmm.
of where I was.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I could actually, you know, speak to that, build my relationships and you know, be that consultative type of person, I built my own credibility within my organization. And really it was about really getting really involved more on the total operations
yeah.
of what makes that our business successful.
Okay.
That made me a really good
So you had to hands on competencies.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. And I think that speaks to the competency model.
And I would add, I think it's not only what HR can do to make themselves better and more effective, but leaders in business, and particularly non-HR C-suite leaders, are expecting this of HR. And in globally, I'll give an example. There's research that CIRM did that just was released a few months ago in December, where they asked HR professionals to rate a number of competencies. And getting back to the global question, the three lowest ones rated were dealing with adapting to a changing worker profile, finding the right employees around the world, and breaking down cultural barriers in a global company. But when you ask the non-HR C-suite people what we needed in 10 years, they mentioned two things: engaging top executives and developing HR strategy, and developing a global perspective. So it's not good enough for us to sit and do what we've done for years. We have to be thinking about what's in the future. And I just came back from a trip to Africa, and it was really insightful because one of the conferences there that our partner and one of our SHRM forums, they titled it Future Ready HR, and they built it around our competency model, but they weren't looking at what we've done in the past or doing it today. They're focused
mm-hmm.
on how are we gonna be different to add value in the future.
And that's why SHRM took the step. I mean, let's face it. That is why SHRM took the step. They took the step. They invested in the research because it really should be the professional organization. I'm really one that believes that SHRM is the professional association
mm-hmm.
of HR professionals. So they need to be the leader. They need to be the ones that are helping HR really excel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the competency model does.
Well, you know, I mean, I go back to the ASPA days. Which
yeah.
is, you know,
all right. You might be a little older than I am,
yeah.
Michael,
yeah.
just by a little.
Just a little.
Just
and,
a little.
And I was only a student member of ASPA, so I was
good
the I was the millennial ASPA member,
uh-huh.
I guess, of my era. But it's been, you know, and I used to not get SHRM. You know, it was you'd
yeah.
go to the conferences and all this, but I think, SHRM has done a lot in the last 5 years to move forward on a lot of fronts
mm-hmm.
globally
mm-hmm.
With the competency
mm-hmm.
models, social media. We were talking about that with Andrew earlier today. And I'm very excited about what SHRM's doing now. And so they're but every now and then there's this little hiccup. And so one of the things that's next up
mm-hmm.
on our list is a redesign for the website,
yeah.
right? Which is
yeah.
exciting. But
thank
let me
God.
Tell you a story. I was on Facebook and
yeah.
people, you know, in a SHRM secret forum,
yeah.
you know, that,
yeah.
so that we run us,
yeah.
our bloggers, they were saying, I can't log into SHRM. What's going on? And it was like, and apparently they did single. And then there were all
on.
These snarky comments. Well,
yeah.
it'd be nice of them to let us know. So
yeah.
how are you guys? Anyway, it was pretty funny. I was like,
yeah.
it's 20 minutes. Come on, people. But anyway. So
I shouldn't tell you that I really haven't figured out how to log in.
Yeah, I haven't either. I was trying to do it on the phone. I can't remember my number. So what is coming with the SHRM org redesign of the website?
So this is really exciting because we really haven't had a redesign in
yeah, it's
a
really
long
busy
time.
Busy site.
And it's so busy. So we do expect this to be launched sometime in third quarter.
Of this year.
Yeah. And it is sleeker. It has a better search engine. It is when you look at it, it's more appealing. And it's the way I see it is our current website is very internal SHRM language. All mm-hmm. right. So it really makes sense to probably people within SHRM, but for people outside of SHRM, and I can say this because I've only been with SHRM for 3 years. So
still somewhat of an outsider.
They won't let me use that. It's my honeymoon period anymore. But anyways, so really, if you look at it, that's how our website was built. And it is so busy and it's unappealing. So what we have done is we invested, again, back into our membership. I mean, this is great. We're investing in our members. And we're redesigning the website to make it more efficient, effective for HR. Because if you think about it from a global perspective, this is how we touch our members. This is the one single thing that we use to engage our members. So
I would add, Alyssa, that it's going to make the member experience much more customizable and personalized. And that's really what I think is needed around the world. We've had a great progression, and I appreciate your observation, Mike, in the last few years of globalizing our content. But we still get a constructive criticism that it could be a little bit too U.S.-centric. Mm. By making it customizable. And there were some abilities to customize it a little by opting into some newsletters. But this is going to make the experience, regardless of where any HR professional is, much more personal and direct. And an association like ours, engagement is about trust and, I will say, in the right sense of the word, intimacy. We want people to feel like they're part of a community that cares about them, but also learns from them. And I think that's what the website's going to do.
And if we look at our membership, and you kind of dive into our membership, we are servicing many different types of HR professionals. So that personalization is so critical because, again, you know, I started as a recruiter. So obviously when I first joined SHRM, I would be engaged with more of the recruiting content. But for benefits, I could care less. I didn't want to know that. Mm-hmm. So again, if we can, and that's what this website will be all about. So we're really excited about that.
What I found is, you know, I said when I was in AFPA, and, you know, that the first 2/3 of my career, really, SHRM was, you know, you had a website, I got the magazine, it was good. Mm-hmm. I'd go to a conference every 3 or 4 years, mm-hmm. and I didn't know how to network, right? And then, so I didn't feel like it was intimate. I felt like it was a faraway organization. We had local chapters, and those were okay or not. You know, it really depends. A few years ago, personally, I don't want to go into all the details, but China Gorman, who was COO, was on, made a big stride in a small world of the social media people who were doing HR, and China came on and started talking to us, and it was kind of like thing, right? We'll see how this goes. And she opened up a door that, at least from my individualized perspective, you know, I said, well, blah blah blah, and all this, you know, kind of pent up, you know, like I had all these criticisms, and she said, what are you doing to change it? Are you involved? And I was like, no. So where I'm going with this is now for the last 5 years or more, 6 or 7 years, I've been we've got about 20 minutes left. I've been a member, national volunteer, state, local.
Thank you.
And it really makes a difference. You know, I guess I'm giving a testimony here is that if you're listening to this and you don't think SHRM does what you need to help them get in there. You need to get in there and help them fix it. Because they listen if you talk to them and you give back.
It's interesting because I think, you know, I'm going to pick up on something you said that I thought was very interesting, that earlier on you didn't know how to network. And I think one of the things that SHRM is doing, both domestically and internationally, Alyssa and her team interact a lot with our chapters. I was recently in Philadelphia speaking to the chapter, and we're doing a better job. I think I should say let the members do that, but we're doing a more intentional job.
I agree. You're doing a better job.
But our members, the market, should decide that. We're doing a more intentional job of helping people network. Giving them the information, giving the tools, but creating the events, not only this conference, but I'll give you a little story about the global side. At annual, one of our more fun social events is our international reception. But we, before that, do a specific orientation for our non-US members to instruct them, or at least guide them, on how to make the most out of a US conference.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to know that if they go to a meeting, they go to a session, a concurrent session, and they don't like it, they're free to get up and go someplace else. In some cultures, that would be rude, and we give them that freedom. But what we do with this global networking evening, we get all the non-US invitees, as well as all the people in the U.S. who actually do global HR. And we have no speakers, but we give them a mock passport and ask them in the course of an hour and a half to meet at least people from four different regions. And we even script it. You know, ask somebody, Alyssa, what's your big, what company are you in what country? And what's the biggest challenge for your business? And what's the biggest country challenge for HR? And it gives them a sense that they can learn from each other.
Right.
But we're doing lots of different things like that intentionally.
Right.
In the U.S. as well as with our members abroad.
Right.
So with the new website design, how do you approach that as a build? Right? Do you ask leadership? How do you get input on what the members want?
So
for the
and in
design?
Fact, we did get our input from our members. So you know we did go out to our members to ask them what would they want from the new SHRM website. We also had them. A few folks, in particular the Mac, actually, took a look at where we were going down the path, and they were all in agreement. So, you know, again, we really, I think at last annual conference, I think we had a markup of what the website would look like and did really intense.
Focus.
One thing we're really good at sure, I mean, we're good at many, many things, but surveying our members and market research is really phenomenal. We really do. So
let me do a quick reset just for anybody happen to turn this on 25 minutes into a show or something. This is Mike Vandervoort, and we're live in Orlando on I guess it's April the 17th. I don't know. And it's Sunday afternoon, so we don't usually do shows that time. But our guests are Alyssa O'Brien from SHRM. She is she's the vice president of membership at SHRM, and then Howard Wallach, who's the global marketing executive of global business development. That's a mouthful of a title.
He's a global markets executive, which means I cover many regions of the world.
He's a world traveler. So we're talking about some of the things that SHRM is doing, both with talent acquisition and some other topics, including a website redesign. So how many chapters in the U.S.?
575 and 51 state councils. We have a Pacific council Guam and Mariana Island.
What about Puerto Rico?
We have Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico is our great success story because they were a struggling chapter. Now they are at super mega status. So they have over 1,100. In fact, I will be attending their board meeting this week.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be going down, be coming from Florida, going down to Puerto Rico. So we're really excited about Puerto Rico.
Okay, cool. So I have a question that isn't on our little checklist.
Yeah.
And this may apply, you know, to both of you. I know SHRM does like a lot of research-driven partnerships, but you also have like the government relations, Department of Affairs have different partnerships.
Yeah.
How do you develop those kind of partnerships, and what role do they play in SHRM? If that's okay to ask.
Definitely. And in fact, I work very closely with the GA team because I think from Howard's perspective, from the global aspect, you know, our advocacy global government relations is really U.S. centric.
Mm-hmm.
So
the workforce, the work life balance, you know, partnership.
Right.
I remember
when work works.
Yeah.
When work works.
Yeah. The big picture.
So when we go into these types of partnerships, we really the first question that we ask is how would this help our members, and is this something that will help our members? So we really want to make sure that fits into you know, advance the profession, serve the professional, fits in with the mission of SHRM. And if we can leverage those partnerships to really, again, build a better profession, that's how we go into these partnerships. And we are at SHRM. One thing that really shocked me when I came into SHRM was how collaborative everyone it was at and still is at SHRM. So it is a real, I've been in many different companies and, you know, at the most senior levels, and I haven't really ever seen the collaboration that really goes on and to the level that it goes on at SHRM.
Because it's a nonprofit and association?
I do think because it's mission focused, mm-hmm. and you know, we may have disagreements on mm-hmm. how we want to service the members or what is right to service the members, but I will say every single person that I have encountered at SHRM, and I really wouldn't be here if I mm-hmm. didn't believe this, really is mission driven on our members.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, again, I think that's how we form our partnerships and how partnerships make sense. When Work Works is a terrific example of how a partnership really has grown and has succeeded through our chapters, our chapter network. Part of my role as VP of HR, VP of membership, is that I oversee, I'm a recovering
Your
HR
old job.
Professional,
yeah.
I oversee the 575 chapters. One of my goals, because I used to be a volunteer, you know, Mike, I was a volunteer leader mm-hmm. since 1993 for SHRM. One of my goals is to make sure we give the tools and resources to the chapters that they desperately need to be relevant to our members. And just like you had maybe a bad experience in the chapters, and honestly, I agree. Chapter membership may not be for everyone. I was a chapter member and then decided to be an at-large member, meaning that I was just holding my national affiliation. But that was because it was right for me at that particular time. But I think if I was as a young professional, that chapter network and the people that the relationships that I was able to build and friendships last a lifetime,
right, yeah.
and helps you through your career. It's about navigating through your career. And I know we have someone speaking about the networking, how to network here at this conference. And that is so critical.
It is.
When you're building your professional career.
I would add, I think one of the things that Alyssa just said embodies something that we don't talk about too much externally, but SHRM itself is a values-driven organization, and we have five values. What we do matters, our members matter, which she talked about, our people matter, our culture matters, and how we do things matter. And when she started talking about how collaborative it is, I don't know that it's only because we're a nonprofit. I do think it's more that we're a nonprofit that has made a choice about how we serve our members, but also how we treat each other.
Right.
And I think it comes through because even as a member, I always felt that it was a very, you know, collaborative and collegial
organization.
Cool. What about on the global front? Like, how do you, I mean, you talked about the forums, and I know you've opened offices in I didn't think of. So how do you, I mean, that's a whole different kind of challenge, right?
Well, it is. But what we've done in the last few years, you know, I've been at SHRM for 10 years and we've been going global since the internet, but we've been going global as an organization probably for 12 to 14 years, maybe 16 years. But in the last 5 years, we learned a lot of lessons that brick and mortar offices aren't the answer because the world is too big.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have about 40, more than 40 partnerships where we license other organizations to deliver training, and they cover about 50 or 60 countries. But what we've done under the leadership of Brian Dixon, who's our SVP for professional development, is with the whole international team, India, China, Dubai, people who work for Latin America, and people who I work with covering other regions, we've created a very specific, and I should also mention accounting and education and the organizational programs, but we've created a specific methodology where we look for partners, but then they're vetted very carefully. It's not complex, but our partners include other national HR associations like in Brazil and Singapore and Mexico, but in other places, it's for-profit training companies, and even in a few, it's universities and business schools. So we've tried to replicate the large network we have in the U.S. with colleges, universities, and chapters to deliver, but realizing that internationally, you might have to look for some different things to protect our brand and make sure that people can deliver the brand promise of SHRM.
So while we were waiting to come on the show, you made a little anecdotal observation that the UK, we were talking about the UK and America, and even though we both speak English, it's not necessarily the same language, right? We don't think, in England, the HR Association is CIPD,
correct, right?
Do you guys partner with CIPD, for example?
We do. We have a longstanding, through that World Federation that I mentioned, CIPD and SHRM. CIPD belongs to the European Association of People Management. SHRM belongs to the North American Human Resource Management Association. But bilaterally, we've had a long-term relationship with CIPD. Some of our senior staff and leadership always comes to our annual conference. Some of our senior staff and leadership always goes to our annual conference. I have to be honest, though, that we are both competitors and collaborators.
Right.
So they have their own certification. We have ours. But we have also collaborated on joint research projects. So it's a selective process. And I think some of the things that Melissa said before, does it advance the profession and does it help our members is when we would do something collaborative. And there's other times when we would choose to do things
right, but, and it totally makes sense. Yeah. I'm as minded of this story. We've got about 30 seconds left. We've got 8 minutes. I'm sorry, I don't have my glasses on.
Sure.
Either. We have 8 minutes. So let's I guess spin back to the certification for a minute. What else? I mean, you talked about building some new content. Is there anything else on the horizon?
For SHRM certification, first of all, new on the horizon in 2017 is our SHRM learning system.
Okay.
That helps
an updated system. Okay.
It will be updated. And again, mind you, what we have been able to accomplish in a year is absolutely incredible.
92,000 people.
92,000 certified. Throughout the world, and we are probably looking at 100,000 by the end of the year.
And how many members in SHRM?
283,000.
Yeah, 280. Okay, so yeah, 283. Yeah, people drop off because they retire.
Right.
You know, but we have about 280,000.
Okay. So not quite half under the new program.
Right. But I will tell you.
I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying. But that's
and again. I'm also a firm believer, and I might get fired for this, but we'll
hope
see.
Not.
I don't know if certification is for every HR professional, and I think we need to understand
that.
And that is one. You know, first of all, SHRM number one, and in my role, I'll never let anyone forget this. We are a membership organization first. That happens to do certification. Mm-hmm. So that's number one, all right? And whatever route people choose for professional development is their own personal choice. What we are rolling out in 2017 is a newer SHRM learning system that really helps closely align more with the exam, because there is that firewall. It needs to be a firewall. Yes, that's right, you know? So as every year goes on, there's more intel about the people who are taking the exam, so we're getting more closer to what that exam really looks like, so to speak. And we are focusing on translating. So I'm going down to Puerto Rico to give them the great news that our SHRM learning system will be in Spanish, and they will be
And then we may look at other languages in the future.
Yeah.
I would add one other thing just to dovetail. It's not so new, but for any of your listeners who are dealing with colleagues outside the United States, I mentioned that we have partners around the world, but I forgot to mention, people don't have to come to the United States to take the exam. The exam is administered in about 180 cities around the world, just like we work with ProMetric here. they have exam centers around the world. And so it's given us the opportunity to get closer to the market. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people think that because we're headquartered in the U.S., what I say to people outside the U.S. is, we're a global HR association, just happens to be headquartered in the U.S., but we're global.
Absolutely.
And we're trying now to reach our members wherever they may be. And that includes not only preparing them, but giving the opportunity to take an exam and recertify wherever they are.
So where is growth for sure? I mean, global, obviously in other countries, and I mean, a lot of untapped
global
potential.
Right.
Where's the growth?
I'll give you
sure?
some surprising things. That global growth continues to be in India, on a membership base, Canada,
mm-hmm.
And we continue to grow in China. But it's interesting that Nigeria is now the fourth largest country in terms of membership.
In globally?
Totally.
Really?
U.S.,
fascinating.
U.S., India, Canada, and Nigeria. Other countries where we have grown, where we probably didn't expect it, include place, both large and small countries. Pakistan, we have a lot of members. The Middle East, the Gulf area, based out of Dubai, our office serves multiple countries. You know, we call it MENA, Middle East, North Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So they cover from Morocco all the way to the Gulf.
So instead of MEEA,
it's MENA. And so that's also a growth region for us.
Mm-hmm.
We are growing in Latin America and Europe in certain product lines, but certainly I would say India, China, Canada and Nigeria in terms of membership and certification, and the Middle East.
Awesome.
And in the U.S., it would be in California. So if you look at, I used to call it the country of California,
yeah.
because you all get, you know, what happens in the West, actually blows to the east, I say. So in California, per se, we have there is about approximately 119,000 HR professionals, so to speak. You know, right now in California, we have close to 23,000. So obviously, there is more opportunity in that great land, in that great state, where the employment laws are so complex, and doing business in California is so complex. That's why we dedicated our resources to California. I head up the California strategy, and we have been so successful in the last, even in the last 3 years, we have been really successful.
Dedicated office, 18.
Dedicated
right.
office, one.
Government affairs, lobbyists, and others.
We
right?
have a lobbyist, and we have my John Decoto, who is our field person.
I met
and,
both
yeah.
individuals
yeah.
at Sherm Ledge. We had dinner at one night when Hank spoke, so
yeah.
I got to meet the staff.
Yeah, so it's great, and we have a California office,
mm-hmm.
and that is because we felt that it was important for our members, not only in California, but across the globe, to understand what is happening in California,
yeah.
and we really did need to build up our resources for the California
yes.
members.
I've
We're
never
really
done
proud.
Any business. I mean, as an
yeah.
HR professional, I've never dealt with California as a location,
I have.
Right?
Ugh.
But like right now, if you just look at what's in the news, the $15 an hour
yep.
state minimum
yep.
wage going
yep.
up, stable work schedules, the
right.
employer's rights or the Employee Rights Act in California,
right.
the paid leave.
Right.
Human trafficking. I mean, there are
yeah.
some really.
I was going to say the human trafficking,
yeah.
the supply chain
right.
Requirement. So anyone in California needs to be global
so
because
West,
their supply chain.
California, the U.S. kind of mirrors the. We're down to the last minute and a half. Thanks for telling us that, Blog Talk Radio. 45. You guys for being on the show.
Thank you.
This is Drive Through HR live from Orlando at Sherm Talent. Alyssa, say goodbye and leave
yeah,
any final thought.
What I want to say is thank you to our members because, again, you make us really proud of what we do. And we're just so thankful for anyone who becomes a Sherm member.
And Howard, fast.
Wherever you are, you're global.
The afternoon show, maybe the first one we've ever done, and I want to thank our guests, and I want to thank Andrew at Sherm for setting this up for us, and I want to give a shout out to my old peeps in HR Florida because I'm back home here, so I'm going to play a little bit of music and we'll get out of here for Sunday. See you tomorrow.